All right, so can you start by introducing yourself? Tell me your name, your age, nationality, and how long you've lived in Lewiston.
Yeah, my name is Fuad Abdi. I'm 24 years old. Nationality, I'm Somali. And I've lived in Lewiston for about 16 years now.
Okay. So that's most of your
Most of my life, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely most of my life.
Right. So how old were you when you came? Do you remember?
Five, so maybe okay. 19 years, actually.
Oh, all right. And so you've been here since you were 5 years old, so how did you come to Lewiston? Why did you come to Lewiston? Tell me that story.
Well, I'm an immigrant. Mm-hmm. I was born in Thailand. I was born in Bangkok. Yeah. So my dad initially came to America, mm-hmm. and he was living in Chicago for like the first 5 years of my life. I seen my dad a few times. He would come back and forth and visit. And he heard there was a big community of Somali people in Lewiston, mm-hmm. and that it would be easy for my family to get settled in with the support of the others in the community. Mm-hmm. So I came when I was about five, and once we were allowed to come, you know, with all the paperwork and documents and stuff, me, my mom, my dad, and all my sisters, we all came together at one time. And then we were in Chicago where he was for about a year. And then from there, straight to Lewiston, Maine.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't turned my back on it since.
No, so tell me also, why have you stayed? Like, some people come to Lewiston, but then they, you know, move. Why did you stay?
I mean, I've made lifelong friends. Well, obviously, since I've been here my whole life, pretty much, I've made lifelong friends. There's a lot of really good people. Mm-hmm. I think there's good people everywhere, but I've met people who I want to be involved with the rest of my life just in a small community. Yeah. So, like, that's not the only reason why I've stayed. Well, my mom is, obviously, my family is here, mm-hmm. but with my family, like, they've worked, and my parents, when they think about retiring, I'm sure they'll go back to Africa at some point.
Okay.
But yeah, I've always just wanted to be close with my family and stay around them until they're ready to maybe get into the next point in their life. Mm. But yeah, I just want to stay. I think the best thing to do for me is to be around my family.
Okay.
They make me very happy, and I haven't had a hard time in Lewiston, you know?
Yeah.
There's a really strong Somali community here. There's a big Muslim community here.
Okay.
And I like to be involved with my mosque right there.
Okay.
And that's what's kept me around. I've met lifelong friends. I'm not going to complain. Of course, I know, like, after maybe a few years, I'll relocate. Mm-hmm. I really like Texas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my best friend lives there.
Okay.
We grew up here together, and he's down there, and I'm thinking maybe going. I visited him multiple times, but I'm thinking about eventually just going down there and maybe working with him at his company. He's an electrician, and that's what I want to be doing.
Okay.
So until my mom is ready to relocate and retire, and my dad, I'll probably still be around here because I have a grandma as well. Mm-hmm. She's 96, and I don't want to move when she's that old, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I want to spend the last few years with her. I hope she can live forever, you know, but that's just not how life works.
Yeah.
So I want to be around her as much as I can, you know, because you don't have forever with people.
Yeah.
And my grandma was a huge part of my life growing up. I lived with her more years than I lived with my mom.
Really?
Yeah, because we lived in the same apartment building, upstairs and downstairs at first. And my mom has 6 kids, so there was more room for me at grandma's, and it was just up the stairs anyway, so.
Right.
And I grew a relationship with her, and I was so comfortable with her that I don't think I moved back into my mom's until I was, like, in high school.
Right.
From literally being in elementary school, that whole time I just lived with my grandma.
Right.
Yeah, like, so she means everything to me, so I just want to be around her until that's not an option for me anymore.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit more about that. Tell me a little bit more about your family. So you all live in an apartment building upstairs
yeah.
and downstairs, but you spent most of your time with your grandmother.
That was like my early childhood.
Okay.
Into like maybe by the time I was like, that was probably for the first 5 years. So by the time I was like 10, my mom moved like still in Lewiston, but like a little bit further away. And I just ended up staying with my grandma still because there's more room for me there.
Yeah.
And like, I guess like I was just already comfortable. Like it was like she was my second mom kind of, you know? So I obviously always wanted my own bedroom, and that's a luxury when you're a kid. So I wasn't gonna get that at my mom's because I'm the youngest. I was the youngest of six. So then I had a little brother. He was born 2005, 2006. Like, so when I came to America, a little bit after that, you know, I'm pretty sure my mom was pregnant with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was born here right at the hospital right there.
Okay.
CM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so after that, I wasn't her baby anymore, so I was okay to be at grandma's full time. Like she had to raise a whole other kid now.
Right.
You know, and he's the youngest, and he's about to be 17 or 18. He'll be 18 this January.
Okay.
So, cause it's 2023, right? And he's
yeah.
born 2005. Yeah. So, I'm 24, so I'm like 6 years older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like. I don't know, just, he's going to have to be here for longer than I do, you know, so
right.
I'm going to be going to Houston maybe in the next few
sure.
years,
okay.
but after I'm finished up with school and stuff like that.
Yeah. And is all your family here in Lewiston, or are they different parts of the state, different states?
All my family's here, thankfully, so my sister, I have three older sisters.
Mm-hmm.
One of my oldest sister was born in Saudi Arabia, and the next two sisters were born in Moscow, Russia. Yeah, so like my family, they've seen a lot of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was born in Thailand, and then my brother was born right here in Lewiston. He has no interesting backstory.
Except being in Lewiston.
Yeah.
Right. So. You mentioned that your father and family decided to move to Lewiston because there was a large Somali community here, and there's a large Muslim community here also. Tell me a bit about how you define community. Is it through that lens of
yeah.
Somaliness and Islam,
no,
or other ways?
Yeah, like, that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. I think community is everybody who's in town. We're all a community, you know, not just Muslims and
mm-hmm.
Somali people, like just the community, like everybody who lives here.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to be really good to your neighbors. That's something like we grow up believing.
Okay.
So like, but that is a big part of me because as a kid, like, you know how kids will go to like religion school or things like
mm-hmm.
that. So I grew up going to the mosque and trying to learn the Quran and stuff like that. And every weekend I had to go to school after school. So like it was a big part of how I grew up. And
right.
I still go to the mosque every Friday.
Okay.
And I pray my Friday prayer there, and I try to pray as much as I can at home. But I just think everybody's part of my community, you know? Like I don't necessarily just talk to Somali people. Like
mm-hmm.
they're not, that's not it, you know,
right.
that's not how it is. It's
right.
just, I talk to everybody,
right.
but it's like when you live in a small town,
mm-hmm.
your families know each other's families, and you know all this, you just end up knowing everybody, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we live in like New York City or something,
right.
like where there's millions of people in one area. It's not. I run into people that I might not even want to see that day at Walmart all the time, like, oh my God, can't believe they're here, you know? Just kind of like that, but...
Yeah.
I definitely know a lot. Since I've been here my whole life, like I know everybody, I feel like, in the community, at least, or everybody that I want to be around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
definitely don't need more people. Well, I'm always willing to meet new people. And,
right.
But I've had a good to meet really, really good, kind people.
Okay.
And that I want to be around them. Like, even this guy here, like, you know, I grew up around him. So it's like, I think that's just important to me, like being somewhere for a long time and building like community roots, and it matters. Like, my dad, he's like, he's really religious and he wants me to be very involved in the mosque as much as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
And just family is the most important thing to me. So that's why I'm still here.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about, you know, the role religion plays in your life. You said you go to mosque every Friday.
I go to the mosque every Friday, and as a Muslim, you're supposed to pray 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I don't always do that, but I'm working on it. And religion's the most important part of my life.
Uh-huh.
I have deep faith in God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think everyone is in some way or another a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we weren't born to be perfect.
Right.
But, like, I strive to be, because I believe in God so much, so
mm-hmm.
that's it. It's the most important part of my life. Like, when I wake up, first thing I say in the morning is Alhamdulillah, which means thank you, God.
Mm.
Like, every morning, like, I take a deep breath, and I'm grateful for the day. Like, you never know when you might pass away or what could happen.
Yeah.
So, everything that goes good for me, I believe, was through God. So, that's the most important thing to me, you know, to be grateful to Him. And remember, just remembrance, you know. I'm not perfect by any means, but I think, as long as you remember what you have faith in, I just think faith is really important. You have to believe in something bigger than yourself, and bigger than any figure of authority that you might feel nervous about.
Yeah.
You have to believe there's somebody above them.
Okay.
So it makes me feel calm, you know?
Okay. And you talked about your father wanting you to put a bee.
Yeah, like, that's the most important. Like, he won't even be like, hey, are you doing good in school? Or he will obviously ask me that, stuff like that, but it's the most important thing to him. Are you praying to God, who's given us this opportunity? And he's not like a freak about it, you know, but he's, trust me, like, he's like, I want to see you in the mosque.
Right, right.
Because he's a truck driver, so I don't see him every day or every month. Like, when he goes on the road, sometimes he'll go for 2-3 months at a time. And he'll always try to come as much as he can. And I see him at least every month to month and a half, you know. But he's on the road most of the time. So he just, that's the first thing he'll ask me. Have you been going to the mosque, you know? Because he thinks, like, well, he knows that it will help me get to a calmer place.
Right.
And he just wants me to be content.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm a rich man or a poor man, it doesn't matter to him. Like, he just wants me to be, like spiritually content. And he just tells me all the time, like, everything else will work itself out as long as you have faith.
Okay.
You know? And it makes sense to me. Like, I know he's doing well. And it's worked for him. And obviously, everybody's hero is their dad. So I want to be just like him. And, like, take all the good things I can from him. So I know that's worked for him, and it will work for me.
And so going to mosque is really important to you. Are there other types of, you know, customs or cultural practices that you and your family practice?
Just to be praying 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the mosque as much as you can.
Okay.
Paying dhikr or zakah, which is like donating money to the mosque.
Okay.
Whatever you can. It's really important.
Okay.
And that just will set you up for later, you know? Like, whatever, it's like kind of like whatever you put out or donate, it will come back to you in another form of blessing.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, I believe in that. So I'm like, What's a $20 bill compared to, like, a blessing that God might just throw at you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as long as you work, you should be, if you care enough, you should be able to manage to do $20 here and there.
Tell me actually a little bit more about the work that you do.
Well, now I just got involved with Amran and her generational Noor, and I just recently became a board member. And it made me happy because she's a lifelong friend of mine. And all I want to do is meaningful work.
Mm-hmm.
I never would want to be a robot or, like, work in an assembly line kind of thing.
Yeah.
I want to do something that makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she's doing a lot of good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the only type of work I want to do is things that are important in my community, in my life, like okay. in any aspect.
Okay.
So now that I'm involved with Umran, like, I just see, like, I don't know, I feel like more doors are opening up. Like,
yeah.
you see, I would have never met you if I'd never got involved with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is the first thing, you're the first person that I've, like, met, other than all, well, I met a bunch of people at that event.
Right.
But, like, so fast, now I'm meeting with you, and you're a new person in my life now.
Yeah.
And so, you can work at a big company and get, like, an assembly job or stuff like that, but I don't think you'll feel fulfilled when you just know that you're not making a difference. Like, I want to make a difference. I want to do something important. That really matters to me more than anything, you know? Like, and she's a lifelong friend of mine. We went to school together. Like, I've known her since I was a kid. Like, Like, she's one of the first people in Lewiston. Our parents are really close. Like, my dad and her dad are really, really close. Whenever my dad's here from trucking, I always see his car parked right on the street because her dad owns a store there.
Right.
And he just sits there and gossips. Or whatever they do, you know?
Right.
And my dad's not really that social of a person, so I know.
Okay.
I know. Cause that's why he's on the road all the time by himself. Like, so for him to go out of his way and be sitting at the same store, I'm like, yeah, he definitely loves this guy.
Wow. And so you're now working with Umran. What was the work that you were doing before?
Like, the last job I've done was I was canvassing for Jared Golden.
Okay.
Doing political canvassing. Mm-hmm. So, like, what they did is they gave me, like, a phone and all these addresses to go to and, like, go door to door and just tell people, like, to get out and vote if they can. And obviously not pressure anybody, but the way it worked was it was through a whole nother, like, it was like an app and a device you could use if you wanted it. But I just used it off my phone. I downloaded the app and it just give you, people who have already been voting Democratic, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like you're bothering anybody. Just kind of go to their door and ask them. And they were paying really well.
Yeah.
Like, so I jumped on it. I was like, give me all the hours.
Right. Which is interesting, because that was actually my next question about how do you participate in politics, or politics plays a role in your life? Did you do it because, you know, work, or also, you know,
I think it's
in that way?
Yeah, I just think it's important. It is important to me a little bit. Like, I'm not obsessed with politics. I don't like to watch the news. I think the news is depressing. But when I think people are going to make a difference in the town, of course I want them to be in office.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants whoever's out for their agenda to help them out the most. And I'm just like that. Like, I want someone who's going to take change and help out the immigrant community because I'm an immigrant. So, like, I love Janet Mills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she does a lot. And, like, I vote because, like, it is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You know? There's a lot of people who can't vote. So, I just think, like, it's easy thing to do. And you should just vote who's going to help out your community. Don't complain about problems if you're not even going to take the time to go and vote for a few minutes.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that long. We don't live in a huge place where you're going to have to wait hours and hours for a ballot. Like, I was over there, like, what's it called? Like, at the voting ballot, the voting place in Auburn, I was like, there were so many Somali people coming in. I was shocked. I was like, because I was there to translate.
Okay.
So I was just like, I can't believe I'm doing this much work right now. I thought I would just be sitting here on my phone. But it made me happy that these people are actively coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they're coming throughout the day, you know. I can tell some of them just came out of work, so that means they're involved in the community.
Wow.
Like, they want to make changes that are going to help them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, wow, it's a blessing that I can obviously be bilingual, but for me to be able to help them know what's going on. And it just makes me happy. These are people I know from the community. Like, I know, I ran into a bunch of people's parents and stuff that I went to school with, and I'm just like, yeah, this is You know, just explain to them what was on the ballot. This is the name of the person that you're looking for, right here.
Okay.
It feels good.
Okay.
Doing stuff like that, you know what I mean?
So you, and that's actually sort of my next question about the role of language in your life. So you've used it in work to do to translate.
Yeah.
At home, like what languages do you speak? What do you speak?
At home, I just speak Somali.
Okay.
My mom is very fluent in English, and to my siblings, I'll speak English because that's just how we are, you know. We've gotten accustomed to just speaking English to each other, but to my mom, I just think it's good to practice those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So with my grandma, there's no English going on, so I think it's good for your brain to just practice, you know.
Yeah.
Use words that you're not. Well, obviously with friends and stuff like that, I always speak English, but
yeah.
why would I want to lose the skill like knowing the language of where my family is from, you know? So
yeah.
It's, I guess it is important to me.
Yeah.
If I didn't know that, I wouldn't have been able to translate for people at that, you know what I mean? So that's the first time where it was I did it for this company out of Maine, actually.
Yeah.
I did it for them, and just for me translating one day, they gave me $300.
Wow.
Because it's really important.
Yeah.
It was on voting day. I sat there from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. just sitting there, you know? Whenever a Somali person came in, I would just, you know, just walk over, talk to them. And they're Somali people are, I don't know. These people, they know my mom, a lot of them and stuff like that. So they hold me like I'm their son, thank you so much. You know, they're whispering in my ear. I'm it just feels good, you know, it makes it easy to smile.
Right. And so that actually brings me to the last, one of the last questions that I have for you. So you've been here since you were about 5 years old and now you're 24.
Yeah.
So over that time, how have you seen Lewiston change?
I think the biggest change I see is that the Somali community, they're I don't think they're need to be quiet, if that makes sense anymore. We can speak about our problems or what we need from the community.
Okay.
We're not outsiders. I feel like it's way more, I don't know what the word is, but we're more included in everything.
Right.
When I was doing the political canvassing, the amount of Somali people that were coming in that needed me to translate for them, I'm just wow.
Mm.
It feels good to see that, you know? So I just think people are coming out more to vote and they want to be involved, and this is their home. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
So they want to be, they want to have a voice. And I wish I knew what it was called. My brother's working for a Somali lady now, and it's an office job, and it's a nice setting. I love his job. I was I wish they would hire me. Eventually, maybe, you know, but
right.
He's a, I don't know the exact word, what it's called, but he's a program director or something.
Okay.
For this lady named Fadumo. And they help people out with rental assistance, and
okay.
They displace people, they help them find homes.
Okay.
Any type of immigrant, you know?
Right.
So for me to see that, I'm they're getting bank.
Yeah.
They're making good money and they're helping people out, and that's just nice to see.
Yeah.
It's if you have, it's important, I don't know, I just think it's important to help people. Honestly, when it's, everyone deserves a roof over their head.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the case, obviously, in the world. And there's a big homeless community in Wilson, huge. So it's a blessing to have a place to stay. I know my brother loves his job because he helps place people in homes and helps people get rental assistance, and that takes a big burden off of you.
Yeah.
Not having to worry about where you're going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he works for a Somali woman and he's getting very good pay,
yeah.
I'm I don't think that would have been like that 10 years ago.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's the type of changes I see. She's the one I work for to do the translating that day. So I'm clearly they got a lot of funding.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wanted Janet Mills to win, because most of the funding comes from her, you know, and the rental assistance. And everyone deserves heat too, heating assistance. You don't want to be cold. Outside is cold. We live in Maine, so
yeah.
Even the relief checks, I just know when people have kids and stuff like that, it's, especially when you're providing for others, it's you need help sometimes. So that's the biggest change I see. I think they're as a community, we're going out and voting more, mm-hmm. like the Somali community, but just like there's starting to be a lot more business owners, like just mm-hmm. like we're here in a Somali store, like yeah. eating good food.
Yeah.
So just a lot of businesses, they're making, you know, they're doing it. They're yeah. doing it. I'm proud of them, you know, because like they're like paving the way for like us who grew up here, who aren't like new to all of this. Mm-hmm. Like now it should be easier for us because we're not like second generation. We've been here our whole lives. There's no excuse.
I always like to end interviews by asking people, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think it's important to share?
No. This has been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel very comfortable. I just don't talk more than I have to. I don't know. I'm like shy. Like that's why like. I don't know. I'm just shy, but I'm trying to get out of my comfort zone more.
Yeah.
And this is something that I probably wouldn't have done, like a few years ago. But yeah. now, just being involved with Umran, mm-hmm. she told me like I should definitely come and do this interview, okay. and I'm like, yeah, I will. Like, but before that wasn't something, I'm just really like to myself, I don't know,
yeah.
everyone's different, you know what I mean, but mm-hmm. like this was great, like yeah. I feel good, I'm not shaking my feet, like, you know, so you've hit all the points, I think, I hope I did okay.
You did, wonderful, thank you for sharing your insight, I learned a lot from this yeah. you talking about your experience.
Like, I definitely didn't think I'd be good at interviews, but I think I did, I hope I did okay.
You did amazing, all right.